Welcome everyone, it is Camille from Ignite Mr. Right. I help single women in how to attract a suitable partner so they can have that loving, romantic and passionate relationship they really deserve. And today I've got a very special guest on the call today. His name is Robert Kirby from robertkirby.com. Robert has been in the personal development for over 30 years. He's helped thousands of people on their journey and also in helping them in finding a suitable partner. And Robert's actually been a big part of my personal journey, and I attended many of Robert's retreats and workshops about 10 years ago. So welcome on the call, Robert. So happy to have you.
Oh, thanks, Camille. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to share beautiful things about relationships and some of the challenges that we all have.
Beautiful. So I guess before we get into the question, and we've got quite a lot of interesting things to cover, I would love you to share just in a few sentences why you're so passionate about your work. You've been on this journey for many decades now. So what makes you so passionate about helping people?
Well, I believe that the most powerful intelligence in the universe is love. And the world has changed so much in the last 50 years. The age of information has taken us out of our hearts into our heads. And I believe that the information age has taken us as far as it can. I mean, it's great that we have the internet and we're able to do business from home and all these wonderful things. But it hasn't stopped the GFC, has it? And it hasn't helped people with stress in relationships, and it hasn't made the world a more peaceful place. So I think it came, but it came at a big cost. What I believe now, Camille, is that we're going to start a new journey, a new age of transformation from the head back into the heart. And literally this journey will, by its very essence, reconnect people of any age back into the importance of relationships and all kinds of relationships, but especially intimate relationships, how important intimacy is and equality and vulnerability. In recent years and decades, I think this has been diluted and creates a lot of stress for people because we go from our head to our pelvis and from our pelvis back to our head, and the elevator doesn't stop at the heart anymore because we don't have time for it.
Interesting. So, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's even online dating and all those different things, it hasn't necessarily made things easier for people. People probably feel more disconnected and more depressed than ever.
I believe that. And, those of us on a spiritual path have worked really hard. We've done a lot of healing and letting go of old relationship patterns. But nevertheless, it's people just don't seem to have the time that relationships really need to be successful and deep and intimate because they're working so hard. And if there's children involved and both parents are working, it is really not easy.
Definitely. And the same applies to single women, where most of my clients are single women. They don't even have the time to look for a partner. So it's definitely an interesting time.
It is such a challenge.
Definitely.
So anything that you and I can do to share to make it easier for people, one of the things, of course, the work I do is quite diversified, but for today's call, we're focusing on intimate relationships and singles looking for Mr. Right. Well, one of the things I'm really proud of, Camille, is that since I've worked in Australia, we've had 17 marriages and 27 babies in our community.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think it's a beautiful feedback from the universe and a testimonial to the energetic healing work does make a huge difference and enables people to shift their old patterns and create a space and a container to hold for another person to come into your life. And it's really important that we share that with the listeners.
Absolutely. And I mean, your work definitely works. I've been in a relationship for 7 years, and when I first attended your workshops, there was never even an opportunity. I was so stuck in my defenses. So I'd like to share a little bit about, I guess, We'll talk a little bit about the character defences, but my first question was going to be, why, in your opinion, is finding a suitable partner such a challenge for people?
Well, one of the things that happens is that, you know, we're armored. In other words, to get through life, you kind of have to protect yourself, because the world out there can be cold and cruel and kind of selfless. And so just our instincts to survive make us defend ourselves. But sometimes we go too far. We get overwhelmed. And we find ourselves not emotionally available, not open. And because of this mistrust, sometimes people will mistrust the person who actually has pure intentions to be our friend and get to know us. And on the other hand, if we're overwhelmed, sometimes we're in a hurry for love or whatever, or affection, and we'll trust someone who's actually not trustworthy. So it's kind of like, what I'm saying is that when we're not really in contact with ourselves, we lose our discernment, and we're not really certain of what the truth is anymore. And so it becomes very frustrating for people. Thus, so many people alone today.
Definitely, and it can be very confusing because of that. So let's have a bit of a chat about the different character defenses, and of course we won't have time to really explain what the theory behind is. But I guess or could you sort of could you describe it in a couple of sentences what the character defenses actually are?
Yes. So just to give credit to Dr. Wilhelm Reich, who was an Austrian psychiatrist, he created character analysis, and he goes way back to the beginning of the 20th century, and he was a student of Sigmund Freud, but he changed the direction of psychiatry and psychology more into the body. So you might say he was the first energy healer in terms of body psychotherapy that came out of the West. He was a brilliant man, and today it's considered more mainstream. I just heard that a very conservative school, Harvard's medical school in Boston, has just put a Wilhelm Reich section in their library in the medical school, in the School of Psychiatry. So I think that's a big step forward in mainstream people looking at that energy is connected to the body, and it does have an energy to it, and character is a very important part of our journey of healing and wholeness.
Brilliant.
So say that first, just to give credit to Dr. Reich. But then I've been trained in this for like a quarter century, and it is a big passion of mine, and I use it every day in my work. And I also use it to help people who are searching for a partner who seem a little stuck or lost in finding a partner they could have real depth with and a long-term relationship. So I'll just go through them, Camille, quite briefly to give the listeners an overview.
Brilliant.
One of the first ones is a person who has difficulty staying present. In other words, they're easily distracted. And they had a bit of a bumpy ride when they were in their mother's tummy. It's called a trauma or shock in utero that happens. And the person kind of feels uncertain whether they're welcome in the world. And they're usually very intelligent, very spiritual people, but they tend to live in their head. They tend to feel their attention span is short, and their hearts tend to be numb because they have this trust or safety issue in belonging. So really their journey is for us to help them to belong more and to have a sense of their own heart. To do this, we get them grounded. And a lot of them, because they don't feel who they are so deeply, they tend to have sex so they can feel. So they will have partners, but they won't. It tends to, if the other person wants to be more intimate or want more of a commitment, they tend to withdraw a little bit. So what they need to do is to get more grounded and more present. So they're more emotionally available for a partner. And people who have this wounding, they tend to have a lot of terror. Like they're really terrified that somehow they're going to get hurt or annihilated, that if someone really hurt them, that it would kind of wipe them out. So they're quite vulnerable in stepping forward. And if you love someone like this, the importance is to make them feel safe and to go in small steps and increments that the person can build trust with. So that's the first
Beautiful.
One. And the second one I know many people will relate to too. This is an abandonment wound in the first year of life. So this is a time of symbiosis or breastfeeding where the infant bonds with the mother and they actually fall so deeply in love with the image of mother's face that they cannot differentiate between themselves and mother. In other words, the infant thinks that they are the same as mother. And what happens is if there's a disappointment in this symbiosis, in this bond, the child is devastated and they become very upset and they'll even be angry and they'll cry endlessly if the mother is not available to them. Now, the abandonment doesn't necessarily mean mother leaves the baby on a doorstep. It just means that mother might be very busy. She may have a couple other children under the age of 5 who need mommy's attention constantly, so the baby is sometimes left crying, and it creates this abandonment wound. Well, what happens, Camille, is that when the person grows up, they tend to be codependent. They feel they're not enough, so they're really impatient. And if someone shows an interest in them, they tend to rush in and give all the goodies away right away. They don't let the relationship unfold, so they find themselves in over their head. They're in a relationship. They may be emotionally involved or sexually involved before the relationship has a chance to find its own feet or its own friendship. And so they have an expectation that they're going to be hurt, that they're going to be left, and they become codependent quite quickly with the other person. And so if you have two people like this, they're in for a real circus, mm-hmm. for a real roller coaster ride, because they trigger each other, they're easy to anger. In other words, they tend to be reactive people, and they tend toward addictions. If they don't have addictions with alcohol or drugs or cigarettes, it might be just addiction to love and sex addiction, if you know what I mean.
Yes, definitely.
And where they feel they just go from person to person to person. And, you know, it's interesting because they're not unevolved people. They're intelligent, they're educated, they're attractive, but they just have this gaping hole in their soul, you might say, that causes them to feel that they're not enough. So what we do is we energetically want to fill that hole in the soul with breathing exercises and having charging and discharging so they can release some of the negativity they have toward themselves. In other words, their relationship with themselves needs an overhaul. They need to fall in love with themselves before they can really have a substantial relationship that goes long term.
Absolutely.
Mm. So that's the second one, and this is what we call early wounding in character analysis. And both the first one and the second one, there tends to be a lot of anxiety, and they're perpetually worried. The third one is more of a humanitarian. These are the people pleasers. They, at the toddler phase, in other words, from about a year and a half to 3 years, they were overprotected by the mothering figure, and it could be a live-in grandmother or a nanny or a live-in stay-home dad. I mean, anyone can affect this wound, but unfortunately, it's poor old mom that usually gets blamed. Now, if they have an overprotective mother who suppresses the child's exploration, the child feels that they can't make their own decisions, that the decisions are being made for them by mother or the mothering figure. So they're not given permission to explore the environment and fall down and skin their knee, fall off their bike, make their own mistakes.
Yeah.
Because they're constantly – their physical freedom is kind of being violated, kind of being controlled and suppressed. Now, guess what? There are life-damaging consequences here, Camille, because this person is a natural-born people-pleaser. And they are constantly pleasing their partner, but inside – there's a lot of hostility brewing, and they have difficulty with intimacy. They don't want to stay present. If you criticize them, they tend to withdraw very easily. And once again, here's another example of an individual that needs to go really slowly in relationship. And they're constantly anxious. They sweat a lot. They tend to carry a little bit of extra weight in their midsection, and in some instances in their upper legs. So this is like a protection. It's kind of like saying to mom, stay away, leave me alone.
You know, wow.
Their idea of an intimate candlelight dinner is a nice long conversation on the telephone.
Yeah.
Because they really, really need their space. And if you love this person, they're very lovable. I mean, they have the most heart energy. They're very passionate and generous, but you just can't pressure them. You can't, like, tell them what to do. You need to give them the freedom to come forward and to tell you how they feel. And these relationships need to go slow.
Right.
So those are the first three. We call this early wounding. In other words, these three individuals have had a significant wounding of their character prior to the age of three. And so this leads us to the Oedipal phase, and this is the achiever archetype. And these people, of course, they escaped a serious wound, and they're caught up. They're very mature for their age. They grow up very quickly. They kind of know what's going on in mom and dad's relationship. Because they're given permission to explore life. They're usually very interested in falling in love with the parent of the opposite sex. And they're kind of sexually, they have a maturity beyond their years. They have a vocabulary, and they talk about things that usually young children don't know about. Because
right.
they're kind of let into the problems of the marriage. They're kind of not protected in a safe generation gap. So it creates problems for them. They're usually very advanced. They start early on in life in adolescence sexually. And they're very mature. They're usually very good students. They're smart. They're successful in the outer world. Their bodies are well proportioned. And what happens is their hearts are closed because they tend to feel that they don't get everything they want from the parent of the opposite sex. They get sort of flirtation, but they don't get the real love that they want. So their hearts are closed, Camille, and it's hard for them to keep their hearts open. So they have a tendency to be in relationships where the person that they're with adores them and gives their power to them. So the relationship isn't equal. And when relationships aren't equal, they lack vulnerability and intimacy. So these people tend to live from their pelvis. They tend to live from their sexuality. They're highly sexually active. And their idea of a great lovemaking session is their idea of intimacy. The whole idea of going slowly and the foreplay, and they could skip all that because they just want genital satisfaction, really. And if they don't get it from their partner, they'll go outside the relationship.
Okay.
So these are the folks that tend to have affairs, whether they're married or they're the highest percentage of people who will cheat on their partner. It's just that the day-to-day routine of life seems boring to them. When they were at the Oedipal phase from ages 3 to 7, they got a lot of juice from the opposite sex parent. They didn't get the love they wanted, but they got that juice. So they're always looking for juice, and they usually find it in sexuality with their partner. And if the partner wants more intimacy and all that, they have a problem with it. So they get challenged with that. So they need to really unify the energy of the pelvis with the heart and open the heart so they can find intimacy once again, what they're really longing for and what they missed in their early life. So those are the first four. It seems that this last one, the overachievers, they have it easier because things seem to come to them effortlessly, if you know what I mean. They just get everything they want. It's like the football player who always gets the girl he wants, he gets the cheerleader.
Yeah.
Or the beautiful girl in school who's most popular. She's pretty and smart, and she has her pick of the boys. So life isn't fair, but that's just the way it is. But they also have their challenges from what I described to you. Now, there's a fifth character structure, Camille, that would be familiar to the listeners too. These are people who lived in an environment that was very chaotic. In other words, there's usually a lot of fighting in the family, a lot of arguing, and they were privy to, having to be built up by one parent. Like one parent was telling them that they're beautiful and smart and gorgeous, and then another parent would smash them down. So they have a tendency to live life on a roller coaster. Either things for them are experienced as really fantastic or horrible. There's no middle ground, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're up and they're down. So if you're in a relationship with them, they love you, they adore you, and they want to live their life with you. They just can't get enough of you. Or you've done something wrong and you've upset them, and they sort of withdraw, and they're critical of you, and they're upset, and it just seems like over the top, if you know what I mean.
It can change really quickly from one extreme to the other.
Really quickly. They're really explosive and really reactive. They're angry 1 minute, crying the next. And they have these ups and downs because they just don't have that balance. They have a big, strong wave in their personality, and they don't seem to have control over it. So they're interesting people. They're charming. They're seductive. You know, the kind of people who are the life of the party, you want to be around them. But if you're in a relationship with them, look out. they're volcanoes, if you know what I mean. And when Mount Vesuvius goes off, you better look out. But, people who live with these people, they have interesting lives. There's a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but there's never a dull moment.
And what's the challenge for, I guess, where's the healing for them? What needs to happen for people with that character defense?
Well, for that one, what we need to do is to have them gain trust in their relationship with themselves. So they tend to be ungrounded. That's why they're so volatile. And we're able to get them grounded into the energy of the earth. And whereby the achiever archetype, we need to get their hearts opened and get that vast energy of resource in the pelvis up to the heart so the heart gets activated. In this particular instance, with this leader archetype, the visionary archetype, the volatile ones, they need to get really grounded so their heart can open and they can really, really be vulnerable and intimate and share how really terrified they are of life and how terrified that the partner is going to hurt them or leave them. So this is the most important thing, is the trust for them. And for the previous one, it's opening the heart. The first three that I mentioned, the early wounding people, the first thing we have to do is to get them beyond their anxiety. People who are anxious, they have a hard time meeting people.
Of course.
Oh, because they're so nervous on the date or even calling for a date. For some of them, they're terrified. It feels like a life and death situation. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And even the internet dating would be quite safe. The whole idea leading up to meeting for coffee can be so anxious for them. You know, the humanitarians will be sweating and worried that, you know, you're going to want too much from them. The ones that are abandoned are afraid that you won't like them. So they're afraid to meet up because, oh my God, what if he doesn't like me, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the early ones are, you know, a lot of times they have a trepidation about even meeting people because they're afraid they're going to get hurt. They'd rather just meet you for sex because then they could feel more. But they're afraid that if you meet for dinner or coffee, that you're going to ask for sharing and vulnerability, and that is not their cup of tea. So needless to say, Camille, being a human being is not easy.
No.
All of us have these, we all recognize ourselves in these.
I was going to say that there is a lot of conflict, inner conflict going on, and of course it is I can certainly relate to two especially, and so there is often a combination of them that we do have. Is that right?
That's correct. Wilhelm Reich said that by our fourth birthday, we've all had a touch of all of them. In other words, there's no such thing as a perfect parent. But usually there's one sort of cycle in life where we got the most let down. So usually it's one or two of these, two of the five, that most people relate to and that are really stopping them from meeting someone special.
Beautiful. So thanks so much for sharing. There's so much in this, and we shared a lot in a very short time. So your work very much focuses on how to move through those barriers to love and how to really deal with, you know, what you just mentioned. So you do have a great workshop coming up in September. Can you tell us a little bit about what people could expect if they are curious to find out?
So it's a 3-day event. The The workshop is called Heart-Centered Relationships, Awaken the Lover Within. And it's a three-day workshop facilitated by myself, but I also have very seasoned leadership team, and they're all highly skilled therapists that we trained in our school here in Sydney, the Core Energetics Australia School. And it's a powerful program. It's designed to help you create a loving, passionate, fulfilling relationship with yourself, first and foremost. But then it teaches you a variety of skills about connecting with people. You know, most of connection is nonverbal. People are deciding. It's very rarely what we say that pulls a person closer to us. It's the integrity of our interaction. It's our, not just our charisma, but our body language, the way we interact. And a lot of times people do things that they don't realize that are off-putting. And so we find very loving ways in our processing to give people feedback about what it is they're doing that's unconscious, that may be telling a person to stay away, or that they're not really safe, or they're not really available, you know?
Exactly.
And so I think for singles, for women looking for Mr. Right, a lot of times, you know, women are such loving beings and such sensitive creatures. They hold on to old hurts. And I think that this weekend is designed to let go of those broken hearts and let go of the maybe negative energy that a woman holds in her feminine parts, to get that energy out so she's much more free and available to let out her beauty and her creativity and her sensuality to the right person. And to me, it's important to be more discerning in, you know, who you really allow yourself to connect with, to make sure that this person has the same values and is looking for the same kind of deep intimacy, and if there's commitment and children and things like that. I've always taught my female clients to be really, really direct with men, because if you really ask men directly, they'll tell you the truth. And a lot of women over the years that I've met, they want to rescue men.
Exactly.
Or fix men or love men through it. And guess what, ladies? It doesn't work.
No.
If a guy's not mature enough or he's not ready, it's better to move on instantly than try to fix someone and have a man as a project.
Absolutely.
Because the women end up carrying all the pain. And because women get entered, they carry all this negativity that men have who are not working on themselves or clearing their own relationship patterns so they could be a better partner for a woman. So women have to see that. And I always tell women, move on very quickly if he's not Mr. Right.
Definitely. And your work really helps in creating that strong boundary and creating a very clear intention as well.
Yes, it's so important to know what we want going in. And then the universe tends to produce Mr. Right, because we're so clear on that we really want it. And so sometimes if there's a part of us that's not ready, then we wind up being in workout relationships, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, here's another guy I'm going to be with for just a year or whatever. He's not ready, but he's a good guy, and I'll learn something from him. Well, after a while, you have to say, how many workout relationships do I need?
That's right. You know? The time is now, and this is your life.
Exactly. This is your life. Let's get it right now. So let's help the women clear any negativities from longstanding old relationships or their relationship with themselves, where they haven't forgiven themselves for certain behaviors or relationships that they've been in, or they feel they've wasted time and they're upset with themselves. We need to get past that stuff and live in the moment, be grounded and present, have our hearts open, our pelvises connected to love, and really start to attract a guy who is just as committed as they are.
Beautiful. And a lot of the listeners are from Melbourne, but we had a bit of a chat before. And if there are, you know, quite a few of the women who would love to meet you at an information night, we will definitely make that happen. So there is one in Sydney, August 27th.
Yes. We do have an experiential evening that serves as an introduction. It's 2.5 hours. It's 7 to 9. And it's at the 99 York Street Conference Center. in the city in Sydney.
Yeah.
And it's at August 27th, as you said. It's a Wednesday night. And as you said, a lot of you're from Melbourne, so a lot of your listeners are from Melbourne. And if women are interested, I'd love to come down, fly down, and I'll just do a one evening event. And you know, we would have a very special offer for those who want to come along to Sydney in September to the actual workshop. Now, the actual workshop, if I haven't mentioned it, is on
September
19th to the 21st.
Brilliant.
In the city. And, you know, for your listeners, we would work out a special discount for all of them. So it would be good for them to contact you, let them know that, if they're interested, and you and I can work out something else for them to come up to Sydney or for me to go down there for the introduction.
Excellent.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. So what I'll get you ladies to do, if you are interested for Robert to come down, and we will make it happen. Absolutely. I'm absolutely certain about that. Just send me an email, Camille@ignitemrwright.com. So thank you so much, Robert, for sharing your pearls of wisdom with the listeners today.
Oh, thanks, Camille. It's always a pleasure to work with you and I look forward to getting to know some of your listeners soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much again. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye.